and then we'll gather around for our family prayer and take up prayer requests.
All right, if everybody would stand and turn to page 75.
Some glad morning when this life is all I fly away to a home on God's celestial shore.
Take up prayer requests before we get started. Any prayer requests tonight? Anyone else? I have got a friend of mine that has a cousin in that's down at Duke University. He's got cancer real bad, doesn't look good for him. And so remember that. And my friend's not handled too well either. You know, sometimes when stuff like that happens, they question things. So just remember him and his cousin. Anymore? just ask that everyone lead out in their own prayer. The altar is open. You can use it if you feel you need to. Just everyone lead out in your own prayer. Testimonies. Anything else? I know I want to thank him for a good week. I know the beginning of the week, you know, I was supposed to start back to school last week. I only got one class on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays, and Monday got snowed out, so, you know, I was thankful for that. And then and then Tuesday I have a lab and it got snowed out, and Wednesday I got snowed out. But then Wednesday morning, you know, I was still had to go to work because I didn't get snowed out from work. But, you know, I got going down the driveway, and, of course, the snow's all over covered the driveway. And I was driving out there, and it didn't feel right. It kept pulling to the right. So I got out and looked at it. Right front tire was flat. So, you know, took it back to the house and then got Mom's car and took it. But still had to go to work, and but I you know, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, you know, in everything give thanks, and you know, cost me some money, but I'm thankful that I was still able to pay for it. You know, I'm glad God gave me a job to be able to work and to be able to still pay for it. And then and the next day, me and my couple buddies of mine headed out to an NBA game up in Cleveland. I gave us safe travels and, you know, snowy roads and stuff like that. Safe travels. I was thankful for that. Good time, good laughs. And so I didn't go to class Friday either because we were coming back. So I don't start class till Monday, but it was a good week. And then today after church, a bunch of the youth from our church and Grace Community or Fair Plain Union and Drift Run, I think, a bunch of us got together up at the high school football field and, you know, played a bunch of games together, just combined youth groups. But it was a good time, and you know, everyone got together. And, you know, there's a couple young adults right now that are really, really wanting the youth in Jackson County and Kanawha County to really get together. And we're trying to get some things together for everyone. And, you know, we really want to make some things happen. So pray for that. And, you know, if you want your kids to be involved and, you know, you really want them to to have something for them. We're definitely working on that, and you'd be encouraging to your kids to send them to it. I think it'll really be good for them. But pray for that. And it was a good week. I do want to thank the Lord for that. So any other testimonies? Else. Keep it going. Alright, we got some special singing. I'll go ahead and have Jason and Addison come up to sing. Then we'll have Lainey sing after that.
We're both a little nervous. I don't know why, but I've done this a lot, a long time, it seems like. Don't even know how long, but.
Yes. Thank you.
By far, best time I've ever had is right here. Practicing with her all week long, it don't get any better. We argued, complained, who sang what, who played what, but in the end, this is what it's all about.
Letting go of every single dream and lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I try to end this war, I confess. My hands are weak, I need your rest. Your offense be my life and death. A word of fist by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. Life and death. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. You are my strength and comfort, you are my steady hand, you are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher, your plans are always good. There's not a place wherever you've not already stood. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, carried by you all my life. everything rides on love now. Everything rides on faith somehow. When the world has broken me down, you set me free. When my life is like a storm, rising waters, all I want is the shore. Yes, I'll be okay, make it through the rain. You are my shelter from the storm. Why I've been carried by you all my life. Everything rides on up now. Everything rides on faith somehow. When the world has broken me down, your love sets me free. Everything rides on hope now. Everything rides on faith somehow. When the world has broken me down, your love sets me free. You've become my heart's desire.
Anybody have any testimonies after that? I know one of the parts of that song says, "I've been carried by you all my life." And you know, if I was to sit here and look back on the 19 years that I've been living, I've truly been carried just through it all, just carried every single bit of the way. And the only times that I've ever had any trouble is when I try to, you know, when your parents are holding you as a kid, sometimes you try to squirm and get out. That's about the only times I've had trouble, when I try to squirm and do my own thing. But other than that, I've been carried perfectly by God throughout my life. And I'm thankful for that God allows us to, I mean, you know, God gives us that choice. You know, if we don't want to be carried by Him, He's not going to make you. You know, if we want to squirm out, He's going to let you. But I'm thankful you know, I've tried squirming out sometimes, but I'm thankful that He still carried me all the way. And I'm thankful that I've had that we can have a relationship with Him. You know, as I said, you know, one of my friends was having some trouble questioning some things right now, where his cousin is sick and some other things going on. And you know, he's a Christian, but of course I'm not the one to judge. But, you know, the type of church that he was raised in, it's, you know, they tell you all the big things you need to know. You know, he understands how Christians are supposed to be, but not all churches really understand how to have a relationship with Christ. And he struggles with that. And I'm thankful that I've always been raised in a church that has taught me how to have a relationship with Christ. I've had a family that has shown me how to have a relationship with Christ. And that, I'm thankful that it's been easy for me to understand that, because I really feel bad for those who struggle with that relationship, because that's what makes Christianity what it is that relationship, real relationship with God. But anyone else have any testimonies? Okay, we'll have Lainey come up and sing.
it's been another day when it seems like faith eludes me. Everything's been so confusing. Fear got the best of me. Now I'm lying here worried about tomorrow, 'cause the weight of everything I don't know is so heavy I can't sleep. But the truth remains the same, even when I don't know what to pray. 'Cause what I know is you, my God, are real. No matter how I feel, you'll never let me go. And what I know is there won't ever be a day. You aren't just a breath away. Through it all, I've got to hold to what I know. In the air demanding answers, but in spite of all my questions, I'm still giving you my life. And if it doesn't turn out like I think it should, it doesn't change the fact you're always good. Your ways are higher than mine, and the truth remains the same, even when I don't know what to pray. 'Cause what I know is you, my God, are real. No matter how I feel, you'll never let me go. And what I know is there won't ever be a day. You aren't just a breath away. Through it all, I've got to hold to love that's never failing, to hope that keeps on saying, carry on, carry on. And what I know is you, my God, are real. No matter how I feel, you'll never let me go. There won't ever be a day. You aren't just a breath away. Through it all, I've got to hold to what I know. Gonna hold to what I know. What I know.
Soul sad.
'cause only you make my soul satisfied. Yes, only you make my soul satisfied.
Any testimonies after that? Beautiful singing, yep. Anyone feel like they should sing a song? God asked them to do anything? All right, we're going to have Rob come to bring us the message. I'm going to have Eddie Gibson, if he would, to go ahead and say a prayer for him.
If you've got your Bibles, turn to Jonah, if everybody's done. Yeah, there's still time to obey God if he's telling you to do something. Still time. The book of Jonah, it's about 8 books from the end of the Old Testament. Yeah.
And I think a lot like some of the others, but I'm very proud of them. What they put on this morning was amazing, and it blessed me beyond measure. And what they're doing this evening blessed me also. And the devil is out there seeking to whom he can destroy and who he can grab a hold of. And if at any time any of our youth, whoever, needs anything, you can't think of anybody to call, you dial 988-3225, and I'll pick up the phone. Now, I don't pick it up for everybody, because a lot of times I wait till the message comes on, because I'm screening the crazy people selling stuff. But if you all need something, these youth need something.
Right. Somebody else. You know, that song Lanny sang, I know. It's important that you know. It's important that we know. That we know what? That we know what the Bible says. It's important that we know who wrote the Bible. It's important that we know what we believe. It's important that we know why we believe it. You can't believe something just because mom said so, or just because dad said so, or that's what my grandparents said. We have to know. Paul said, I know in whom I believe. I know in whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that he can keep whatever I give him, whatever I turn over to him, whatever I lay at his feet. He said, I know he can keep it until that day. He can keep that. We've got to know that. If you don't know that, if you don't know why you believe what you believe, if you don't know that your God is an all-powerful God, if you don't know that God can help with anything and that God will help with anything, if you don't know that, then we don't need to go any farther. We need to pray. Because God is a God who can and will. He's a God that you can know, that you can have faith, that you can have confidence. He's a God that will always be there and will always be. Will always be what you need. He will always be exactly what you need. Exactly what you need. Exactly when you need it. He won't be early and he won't be late. He's always right on time. Right when you need God, he will be there. Right when you need God, you can have assurance and faith and full confidence that he will be there because he always will. And if you look back over your life, if you've been on this earth any amount of time, whether it was 19 long years or 47 long years or however many years you've been around, if you've been following the Lord and walking with the Lord, you can look back over that time and see where he's brought you through and what he's brought you through and know that he was there when you needed him and he always will be. The thing about God is he always will be. You and I have to know that. We have to trust that. We have to believe that. Because there's one person that does, that knows that, that trusts that, and believes that. And that's God. And the devil knows that too. And he's going to fight you tooth and nail to get you to not believe that. He's going to try to cast as much doubt as he can. He's going to try to cast everything in your way to just to persuade you that God is and all that. We've got to know that God is and who God is. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Jonah. We're going to look at a few scriptures through here. Just, I was thinking about Jonah, thinking about my life and your life, thinking about our Christian life, thinking about the whole aspect of it and what we do and what God expects us to do and how God works. And I started thinking about Jonah. So I was looking at his life, and if we look down through here in Jonah, if everybody's there, in chapter 1, and verse 1 and 2 says this, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of that person, Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And I thought about this. This is God's call. This is God's call for Jonah. This is God calling Jonah, telling him he's got a plan for him, telling him he wants him to do something. This is God communicating with Jonah and saying, Jonah, I've got something I want you to do. Not I need you to do something, I want you to do. We need to realize that God wants you to do things with him, that he wants you to do things for him. He doesn't need you, like he doesn't need me up here tonight. Jimmy could be here, Trent could be here, Al could be here, Aaron could be here, any number of you could be here, but tonight he asked me to do it. He wants me to do it. He wants you to do things. And what he says is, I communicate with you, I'll let you know this, I'll let you know what I have for you to do. He said it in Jeremiah 29:11. He said, I have thoughts and I have plans for you. And he said, I will let you know those. And I thought about that. Communication is what it's about. Communication with God. So I thought about communication, and I was thinking, how do we communicate? As human beings, how do we communicate? We communicate in different ways, and the communication has adapted over time, right? Long, long, long time ago, how did they communicate? What's the first way we ever communicate? We talk. We talk, yeah. We say, come here. In West Virginia, we say, come here. What's that mean? What's that mean? Come here. Now, every other state says, come here. We don't. We say, come here. Come here, so we know to come over there, right? So we can talk. We communicate by words, even though they're strange and unusual. We say, come here, and you know what I mean, right? Another way is body language, all right? Come here in body language is this. If I did that, what would you do? You would come here, or you would come here, right? Another one is sign language, right? Sign language for come here, right? Look at your kids, and you go, what do they do? They come here. It all means come here. It all means come here. So it's communication. But you know, I think about that, and there's different things. Now, how do we communicate today? Because it's not the same. Because we went from talking to body language to sign language. And along came this thing called a phone, where you actually called people. You know, you called people. And they still do that today. Phones still work that way. A lot of people don't think so. They just think they do this, right? Because now we text, right? We text, and that's how we communicate. Or who loves email? Nobody. We got one email lover. Okay. You can have all the emails you want. I can't stand email. But we email, or we what? Snapchat or Instagram or whatever you do. Communication, it's all telling people what we want or what we need. So talk about how does God communicate? Because God, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change, but God adapts. How does God communicate? Well, He communicates spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. The day you got saved, I doubt you heard God say,
I want you to get saved.
That's my best God voice right there. That's all I got. Very few people have heard God's voice, right? A few, but usually it's spirit to spirit. God communicates with our spirit, letting us, we feel God's will instead of hearing God's will. We feel it in our heart and our spirit, and it's God telling us, I've got something I want you to do. Now, we also have His word, which He wrote. He's written down His will for us. If you don't know the will for your will, God's will for you, just read His scripture, you'll find it. There's His will for you right in there somewhere. Right in there, you'll find it. I promise, if you read that word, God will show you His will. He'll whisper it to your heart and your spirit. He'll put it out there in His word. He'll put it out there with your teachers and your preachers and their talking and their lessons. He puts it out there in your friendships that you discuss and have conversations with. If they're good Christian friends, so you need good Christian friends because God speaks through them. Then there's songs, there's books, you know, there's different ways. But God communicates in different ways. This was God's communication to Jonah, and God will communicate with you too. And what He said is, I have a plan for you, Jonah. He said, I have a plan for you. And He tells you, He's told you that. I have a plan for you. And I don't mean always the great big plan for your life. It's not always, I want you to do this big thing. Sometimes it's just, I want you to go hug this person. I want you to go say hi to this person. I want you to go welcome this person. I want you to go be nice to this person. I want you to, it might be you get off the interstate and there stands that person with that sign, right? I know a lot of people think, don't do nothing, don't give them. Maybe God says give them what's in your wallet. Anybody ever had God tell you something like that? Give that person money? Anybody ever done it? I hope you've done it. Because you don't know the need, what the true need is. Well, they don't need that. Well, I don't know, but that's up to God. But see, He whispers and He says, I've got this plan for you. That's what He did to Jonah. He said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to go to Nineveh. And He's told you, I want you to get saved. Or I want you to teach. Or I want you to sing. I wish He would tell me He wants me to have a good voice first. Then I'd go sing. But I don't, so I don't sing. But He might tell you, He wants you to sing. Or I want you to teach. He whispers to your spirit, and that's what He does to us. So it's what He did to Jonah. It just says the word came to Jonah. Anybody ever had something just come to them? And just like an moment, the angels sing and lights come on. And it just came to me, right? The word just came to Jonah. And sometimes God just comes to you in the middle of the night. Like Laney Song said, in the middle of the night, tomorrow's weighing heavy on me, and it just comes to you. God speaks to you. So He speaks and He says, you know what? I've got this plan. But He said in the book of Proverbs, He promised, I won't give you a plan without help. I won't give you a plan without direction. I won't give you a plan without a light. I will light, Psalm says, I will light both your step and your path. Sometimes He lights it out there so you can see two or three steps ahead. And that's always great. You know, God says, go that way. All right. But I see two or three steps. So sometimes God says, I give you one step. One step. That's all you get. One step. One light, one step. Will you take that step? You take that step, you get another one. But He says, if you lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, He will direct your paths. So He says, I got a plan for you. I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to call you. I'm going to communicate to you. But I'm going to show you where to go and how to go. I'm not going to just leave you. I'm not going to leave you hanging out there. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you direction. I'm going to give you instruction. So he said to Jonah, he said, all right, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And you may or may not know Nineveh was a very wicked town. It said it was a very wicked place. Nobody liked it there. But God told Jonah, go there. So we got to look at something. Jonah's response. What is Jonah's response? Because every time God gives us his will, we have a response to make. We have a choice. We have an option of how we respond. Let's look at what Jonah did. So God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. So look at verse 3, says this. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from... And this, you know, I've never read this before. I have read this before. I've never caught this before. Look what Jonah was doing. Jonah wasn't just running from God. It says Jonah went to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He was fleeing the presence of the Lord. He was trying to get away from the very presence of God. He was trying to get away from the very presence of God. So God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And you notice he doesn't even argue with God. He don't even respond to God. Now, how many times do we argue with God? God wants you to do this. I don't know about that. I don't know. I think we could do it a different way. I think it should be done a different way. I don't think we should do that. I think we should do this. God, I think maybe that's the way you say, I say this way. Your way's hard, my way's easy. But Jonah doesn't even do that. The Bible says, God says, go. Jonah says, no, and just rushes off, runs away. So there are four responses that we can give to God when he asks us to do things, big, small, little, hard, difficult, whatever. We can say yes. And that is, of course, the best way to be. That is the best way to be. Just say yes. Just say yes. Just say yes, Lord, and do it. And when you and I do that, it always works out the easiest, best way for us, and we get the biggest blessing. Because every time God asks you to do something, he has a blessing waiting for you. But we can say yes, Lord, and we can go with it. We can say yes and just take off and run and say, Lord, you lead, you direct, you guide, and I'm right there with you. We're going all the way. So we can say yes, and that when we say yes, we go do it. But we can also say no. We can say no. And what we're saying is, no, I'm not going to do it. We can pull a Jonah and say, no, I'm not going to do it. There's no way I'm going to do that. There's no way, God, I'm going to go talk to that person because they're too mean. I'm not going to talk to that person because they've never treated me nice. I'm not going to talk to that person because they wronged me. There is no way I'm going to go witness to that person because I don't want to. And it all boils down to me not wanting to for some reason or another. So we could say yes and we can do it, or we can say no, we're not going to do it. We could say, wait. We could say, wait. God, I'll do it, but not right now. God, I'll do it, but not right now. You're going to have to wait. See, the thing about God is he's a gentleman. He doesn't make you do anything. He says, all right, that's fine, wait. I don't care. And what you find a lot of times is when I wait, somebody else doesn't. When I wait, somebody else doesn't wait. They say yes, and they do it. But I can tell God to wait. That's one of our responses. God, wait. And you know what? He'll patiently wait for you. Now, when you're ready or when I'm ready, the opportunity may not be there to do what God's asking to do anymore, and the blessing's already gone to somebody else. But here's the thing. I can tell God, wait, and just not do it right now. God, I'm going to do it at a more convenient time, if that sounds familiar, at a more convenient time. Then there's also one more, maybe. God wants you to do this. We'll see, maybe. I've got questions. I've got some doubts. Got some worries about it. So we're going to have to, I just want to watch. Sit back and watch for a while. I'm going to sit back and see what happens. But Jonah doesn't do that. Jonah just picks to, no, I'm out of here. I'm gone. See you later. I don't want nothing to do with it. He's trying to get away from the presence of God. There's two things you cannot get away from in this life. Two things we can never get away from in this life. One is the presence of God. He's been everywhere all the time since the very beginning of time and before. David said, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I mount up on the wings of the morning and I fly to the othermost part of the seas, behold, thou art there. No matter where I go, he says, your presence is around me. No matter where I'm at, your presence is there. You can never get away from the presence of God, which is good and bad. Good and bad. We always want God's presence around us, don't we? Until we're not doing what God wants us to do. You know, till we're given into temptation. When I give in to temptation, I sure would like to get away from the presence of God. Or when I'm disobeying God, I sure would like the presence of God to be away from me. It's like Jonah was trying to get away from it because he wasn't obeying him. We do the same thing, and we just don't do the simple thing God asks us to, and we really wish the presence of God would not be somewhere so I could go there so I wouldn't feel any condemnation or guilt. Any guilt. Second thing you can't get away from. First is the presence of God. Second is the love of God. You can never get away from the love of God. Which is a good thing. No matter what we do, no matter who we are, no matter where we've been, no matter where we're going, no matter what we've done, no matter what we're getting ready to do, we can never get away from the love of God. God loved you and me before we were ever born. He loved you and me before we were conceived. He loved you and me before the world was ever put together, before he ever said, "Let there be the first light." He loved you, and he decided he loved you enough to die for you. So you can't get away from the presence of God, and you can't get away from the love of God. You should never try. But sometimes we're like Jonah, and we just don't obey God. We'd rather disobey God, and we try to get away from it. Why? Because in the presence of God is pure love. And when we go against that love, it makes us not feel all that great. If we just did the first, yes, yes, Lord, yes, God, we've got a couple things going for us. If we do that, first off, we're going to get the blessing sooner because you're going to get a blessing when you obey God. There's no way around that. You do for God, he does for you more than you do for him. You give to God, he gives to you more than you give to him. You love God, he loves you more than you love him. He always outdoes us. He never will not outdo us. And that's a good thing. That's a loving God. And Jonah will find out, but he's got some things to go through. So in verse 3, we see that Jonah picked a response of no. I'm not going to. I'm going to run away. Now, if we look down at verse 5, it says, then the mariners were afraid, because we know what happened. He got on the boat, and God caused a big, dangerous storm to happen. And the winds were blowing, and the waves were coming up, and they thought they were going to die, every one of them. They were afraid. But listen, what about Jonah? Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship in the sea, lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. He's in a very dangerous place. You know where Jonah is right now? He is comfortable in the disobedience and the sin. He's comfortable in the disobedience and in the sin. We've got to be aware that we never get comfortable in disobeying God. That we never get comfortable in sin. Because if we sin enough, it'll bother us less and less. And Jonah, he was so okay with not obeying God. And when you don't obey God, what is that called? Sin. So he was committing a sin, but he was so comfortable with it that he said, "Oh, I'm just going to go to sleep." And he went and fell fast asleep. That is a dangerous place to be when you're a Christian, is when you're comfortable in sinning, when you're comfortable in disobedience, because it is totally opposite of what we should do. But if you look at it, he was comfortable in that sin. He was sleeping, and it's a very dangerous place to be. But you see, here's the thing about sin. Every sin has consequences. Romans 6:23 tells you what? The wages of sin is death. Sin gains death. Sin has consequences. No matter what, how big you think it is or I think it is, no matter how small I think it is, it all is sin. No matter what the act is, it's still the S-I-N. And the Bible says, and God says, and the truth is, anytime I commit a sin or you commit a sin, there are wages because you have to earn it. We have to earn those. A wage is what you earn when you go to work. You work for a living, you get paid for what you do. It's called earning a wage. So when we earn that wage, we are actually working to earn it. So committing a sin is actually work. So the Bible says when you work to that effort, then you gain a wage, and that wage is death. Something about you will die. Something about your witness, something about your spirit. Death comes from sin. The Bible says when sin is finished, it brings forth death. So it's a very dangerous place for a Christian to be. It's a very dangerous place for Jonah to be. In a place where he can go to sleep in the middle of his disobedience, in the middle of his sin, while he was committing, he was so lackadaisical about it. But how often are we like that? How often do we tell that little lie at work and we go right through not thinking anything? How often do we tell that little lie at school and we go right through it not thinking anything about it? Well, a little white lie, right? A little white lie. Call it a fib. Makes it sound even better. A little fib. A fib is a fib, is a lie, is a white lie, is a big lie, is a little lie. It's all a lie. Sin is a sin. If it's one that I commit all the time and I'm so used to it that I can do it without thinking twice, it's a dangerous place to be in my Christian life. In that state where I can sleep in my sin. Where I can sleep through my sin. Where I don't. It doesn't bother me a bit. It doesn't bother me a bit because it has consequences. It has consequences. So if we look down into 7, verse 7. This is us. This is us. This is the world today, at least in America. At least what I know of the world of America today. Verse 7, look at what verse 7 says. And they said to everyone, to every fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know whose cause this evil is upon us. All right, what they were doing was trying to figure out whose fault it was. Whose fault is this storm that we're about to die? Who knew whose fault it was? Jonah knew whose fault it was. Who stepped up and said, it's me, boys? Nobody. Nobody. He's like, let's cast lots. Maybe it won't go my way. I don't know, but let's cast lots. So what I looked in here and I thought, he's not admitting to his wrongdoing, even though it's about to be pointed out and he knows it. Because God ain't going to let that lot fall on somebody else when he's the reason it's happening. And Jonah knows that. But he's like, man, if I admit it, they're all going to kill me. I mean, there's no surviving if I admit. What are they going to do? They've already thrown a bunch of their own property off the boat trying to make it light so it wouldn't sink. And now they're asking, "Who? All right, boys, whose fault?" And Jonah says, yeah, I don't know. Whose fault is it? I don't really. Maybe his. Maybe his. So the Bible says they cast lots. Verse 7 says they cast lots. They went through the process of figuring out whose fault it was. They went through the process of figuring out who was at fault and who they had to do, what they had to do to who. And who it was that they had to do it to. That's what they were figuring out. And Jonah, instead of saying, yep, it was me, said, all right, I'll cast lots with you. Let's draw straws. I don't know what their lots were, but he's thinking, boy, have you ever thought this? I hope it doesn't fall on me. I hope it doesn't fall on me. Maybe it'll come up that Henry over there gets the short straw or draws the white rock or draws whatever. What happens, though? You see, the truth always comes out. The truth will never not come out. So it says they cast lots and it fell on Jonah. Imagine that. Why? Because your sin will always find you out. That's what the Bible says. Your sin will always find you out. And God will not let sin go without a consequence and a punishment. And here it is. Jonah did not even own up to it, even though he knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to fall him because he knew that it was his fault. He was the reason that that the storm was there. Now, what's America do? It's his fault, her fault, not my fault. All right, if you can't blame nobody else, looking back in my childhood and blame my parents because I'm sure they told me no somewhere along the way and it made me want to kill 482 people because they wouldn't let me have Lucky Charms when I was 2. Right? I mean, that's what we do. Oh, they're such a bad person. Well, I'm sure it has something to do with their childhood and what mom and dad said no to them. I don't know. We blame everybody but ourselves. That was Jonah. That was Jonah. Well, then look at verse 12. Look on to verse 12. It says, and he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so the sea will be calm for you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is you. So, what did he do? He owned up to it, but he wasn't going to fix it. He said, it's me, but I ain't jumping. I ain't jumping out of this boat. You're going to have to throw me out if you want me out of this boat. So he let the lot get cast, and God said, nope, it's you. And he told him what needs to be done is I need to be in the water. But he wasn't about to jump himself. He still wasn't going to own up to it and fix it. Is that not how we do? Is that not how we do? God, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. why, they said this and that made me do it, or they did that and that made me do it, or they thought something about me and that's why, well, the preacher said something about me. Well, the preacher said something that I know he was talking about me. I know he was. I mean, I've after messages, I've had people ask me, was that for me? Or was that about me? Or was that about so-and-so? No, I don't know. I just say what he says to say. That's all I know to do. Jonah's like, you got to throw me overboard, boys, because I ain't jumping. I know the reason is me, but I ain't fixing it. I'm not there going to do that. We always want somebody, but when we own up to it, when we own up to what we've done wrong and what we're in the middle of, when we do that, things will be so much better. Things will be so much better. So you know what happened? You know what happened? They threw him out, and God creates and prepares this big submarine. Right? That's what it was, a submarine. Right? Have you ever read and thought about while you're reading Jonah's description of his time in the fish? Well, let's take just a minute and read it, because to me, it's telling, and it, even part of it's kind of humor. So in chapter 2, verse 3, Jonah's talking about it. He says, talking to the Lord, he said, "For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me." So he said, you threw me in the water, and it was drowning me. They were tossing me, and they were going over me, and it was scary, and I couldn't breathe. Anybody ever fell in the river while you were whitewater rafting? Is that fun? Yeah, yeah. Can you breathe? We fell one time, closest I ever come to dying. I know, yeah. Well, I can't say it's the closest. It's one of the close times I've come to dying, but it was because I would come up out from under the water, and I would see daylight, and I'd go to take a breath, and the water would go, nope, not yet. And then you'd suck water in, and then you'd be drowning, and then it'd spit you up, and you'd go to take a breath, and you'd just suck water in. Then it just held me there for a little bit, laughing at me and spinning me out. And so I literally, thought I was going to meet Jesus that day face to face. So I warned him. I said, "Here I come." And he said, "No, you're not." And he's, I guess, that's the only thing I figure. He didn't want me. The water wanted me. God said, "No, you get him out of there." So he spit me out, so I didn't drown. As you know, I'm here. I'm not a zombie. But, it's scary. And that's what Jonah was going through. He's in the middle of the ocean. It was hard, and waves were crashing. So he said, it compassed me about. And he said, then I said, "I'm cast out of thy sight. Yet will I look again toward that holy temple." So it takes you under to where you can't. And he says, out of your sight. And he said, "The waters compassed me about, even to the soul." And like this, the depth closed me around. The depth closed me round about. In other words, in the fish's mouth, started closing in. Think about that. The fish's mouth starts closing in. Because he's got to get from the mouth down to the compartment of living that God has prepared, right? But he's not done. Think about this next part. This cracks me up. All right, you aren't going to think it's funny, probably. But it's what he says. He says, "And the weeds were wrapped about my head." And I just think, he's in that fish's belly, and seaweed's all wrapped around him, right? I mean, what else is he talking about? He's in this belly, it's closed in, it's dark, and he's got seaweed wrapped all around him. Now, when I picture that, to me, I think it's funny, because I just think about having seaweed around your head. But, if I'm in there with Jonah, it ain't funny. That's what he says. I've got seaweed around my head, and I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. Think about this, to be the fish going way down, way, way, way down. "And the earth with her bars about me forever." So forever the drop, the depth, to the bottom of the ocean as the fish was swimming. "Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." Timmy, what was you talking about just a minute ago? What was you talking about a minute ago? The rope. When you get to the bottom of the rope, the end of your rope, what do? Oh, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. The Lord. And my prayer came into thee and unto thee and thy holy temple." Jonah's description of being in the water and in the belly of the whale. But when we get to our last thought, when we're at the bottom, when we hit rock bottom, we think, oh, there's a God out there that I can talk to. There's a God out there that will listen to me. No matter where I'm at and what I'm doing, there's a God out there. So Jonah prayed, and God heard. In the bottom of the ocean, in the belly of the whale, seaweed wrapped around him, the darkness closing in, Jonah remembers Jesus, and he prays to Jesus, and Jesus hears. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 is God. So the word of the Lord came nigh unto Jonah. Well, first off, what did he become? What did God make him? Whale vomit. Seaweed and all, he became whale vomit. Sometimes we feel bad, but you are bad when you become whale vomit. You know what I'm saying? There's no worse than that, I don't think. So God says to the fish, all right, I'm done punishing you, so spit him out. And he does. And God is a God of second chances. So God says to Jonah a second time, he says, it came to me the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah this time said what? Yes, you bet, we're gone. I'm out of here. Point the way, God, because I'm your best man now. I am going to run as fast as I can. So verse 3 tells us he went. There he went. So Jonah arose and went down to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city. 3 days' journey. It was that big. It was that big. Now, God told Jonah to go tell Nineveh that you're evil. You're evil. And you're going to be overthrown. You're going to be devastated. Tell them. Tell them all that you're all going to be overthrown. You're all going to be devastated. You're a bunch of mean people, and you're going to get what you deserve. You're going to get what you deserve. And that's what Jonah told him. And Jonah was expecting God to do just that. But if we look at chapter 4 and verse 1, coming down to that, it says, God, Jonah told him, Nineveh heard, Nineveh repented, God forgave. Jonah told him, Nineveh heard, Nineveh repented, God forgave. And it didn't make Jonah very happy. It didn't make Jonah very happy. Now here's your option. When God gives you something to do, you can get the blessing, you can not get the blessing. That's up to you, it's up to me. And if it involves somebody else, you can rejoice with them or you don't have to. It's up to you. But there is a blessing to be had. So we look down here at chapter 4, verse 1. It says, because God forgave him, said it displeased Jonah. But not just a little bit. Exceedingly. Exceedingly. And it goes on in the next part, verse 8, and he was very angry. He was very angry, very displeased that God forgave him. He had a chance to rejoice with the whole city. He had a chance to be a part of a huge blessing, but he chose not to be. And that's what we do when we choose not God. When we choose to not do what God asks us to do, when we choose to not do God's will, when we choose not to listen to God or to listen to God but want what we want in the middle of it. God, I want you to do this while I'm doing this for you. God, I'm doing this for you, so you got to do something for me, and this is what I want. And we don't get that, and we don't get happy because God didn't meet what I wanted. God didn't meet what I expected. God didn't meet what I thought. And he was so mad and so angry because God forgave those people that he once wanted to die. He said, I think it's in verse 3 and verse 8, he said, it's better for me to die and not to live. It's better for me to die and not to live. That's what Jonah said. Why? Because God blessed somebody that he didn't think should be blessed. Because God forgave somebody that he didn't think should be forgiven. Because God showed love to somebody that Jonah didn't think deserved any love. Jonah missed out on the blessing because, trust me, the whole city's rejoicing because the Bible says the whole city repented and God forgave them all. And Jonah was the only one out there not rejoicing in the fact that a whole bunch of people just got saved. As a matter of fact, he went and sat just waiting to see what God would do. Like, all right, God, all right, you go ahead, God, see what you're going to do. Do what you can do, what you said you would do. Or not. Well, God said, I forgave them. They repented. Jonah said, well, that's fine. Just kill me. Just take my life. Just take my life. I'd rather be dead than to be happy with those people. Anybody you feel like that about? ever had somebody you just didn't think should be blessed the way they were? Why? Who am I to decide? You see, I think about salvation, and God's salvation is for everybody. God's salvation is for all. That's what the Bible says. God said, I came to save everybody. I came to save all. I came to die for anyone who wants my salvation. But I think about there's people, and let me just ask you this question, and think who it would be. If there was anybody, any individual in this world ever, now or in the past, that you don't think should be saved, if you were God, you wouldn't save them. Is there anybody that comes to mind? I'm going to be honest. There's two that come to mind right off the bat. All right, I'm with you. On Hitler, he's one of the first two I think of. And Osama bin Laden's first two I think of. But you know what? God's not me. God's not me. I'm Jonah. Because I think, really? As bad as those people are, as bad as those two are, you died for them? Yeah, God did. God died for them. God, all right, I'm just about done. We get ready to sing. Whoever's going to sing. God didn't die for any one type of person. God didn't die for any certain religious people. God didn't die for any type or anything. He died for all. He died for all. And Jonah needed to know that. Now, the funniest thing, all right, you may not think it's funny. God wrote it in here, though. I didn't write this, all right? But this is a description that God gives of somebody, of a whole people, all right? Now, to me, it's funny, but this proves that God dies for everybody, okay? If you go to the last verse, Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, God says to Jonah, "And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein there are more than 60,000 persons?" Now, listen to this. This is God writing, okay? 6,000 persons that cannot discern their right hand from their left hand. That's God's description of a whole city. Now, to me, that means they're not too intelligent. Sorry, that's the way I read that. God says they can't tell their right from their left. They got to do this, and they don't know which one's an L. You know what I mean? Of course, I got to think about that. But God says, I died for those people too. Why? Because I died for everybody. Even those that I think are not intelligent enough to know left from their right. Why? Because I love everybody, Jonah. And I love you too much to take your life. And God says, I love you. All I ask is you do what I ask. Tonight, if you need Jesus, if you need forgiveness, maybe you've not done what he's asked you to do. Maybe he's called you and you've not said yes. Or maybe you've said no. Maybe you've said wait. Or maybe. Tonight, let's get the calling sure. Let's answer the calling and let's say yes. Let's don't be Jonah. Let's follow God willingly, cheerfully, joyfully, and happily. And be happy for what the outcome is. If everybody would stand. If you need Jesus tonight, come get him. He's here and he's waiting.
Page 51. Yeah.